Psalm 119, one verse tonight is our text, and we will go off of that and look at several verses. I spoke this morning on a certain blind man, and again was thanking the Lord that I was that certain blind man at the age of 17, and Jesus passed by and saved my soul and gave me eternal life. And praise the Lord that most of you here have done that same thing, trusted Christ as Savior. And but then we do, as Christians, we run into times where there's just things we don't see. And the psalmist was in one of those times. And Psalm 119 and verse 18, he says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Tonight's message, "Open thou mine eyes." Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and please speak to our hearts, and certainly I would ask you to open our eyes that we might see all the things you want us to see. Father, the problem is not the object to be seen, the problem is us seeing it. The problem is not the teaching, it's just whether we see it or not, whether we're willing to open our eyes and have the maybe have the blinders removed. And Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes, that we'd see all that you want us to see. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Certainly, the Bible records the many healings of the blind, and it's a great physical miracle, but I believe it's even a greater spiritual miracle when a person's life is changed, their eyes are opened, they're saved. I believe it's a greater spiritual miracle as Christians, as we grow and our eyes are open to God's Word, our eyes are open to the things that God puts in our lives that we should see, that will help us to be what God wants us to be. And again, the text and the title, "Open Thou Mine Eyes," open our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our heart that need to be opened by faith, by trusting the Lord. And there are several instances, I believe, where we need to pray that God would literally open thou mine eyes. And you know, as a Christian, we ought to want more than just being saved. Every Christian ought to want that. That is something that you may sit here and just say, well, isn't that the best thing? Well, of course it is. Salvation is the greatest thing. It's the most important decision you make all your life. But God said, I want to give you life, but I want to give you abundant life as well. And life that is a full Christian life. And so many times the only reason we don't have that is our eyes are not open. Don't you ever find that there's times that a group of folks maybe are rejoicing and praising the Lord, and you're kind of left out? I remember as a new Christian, I'd get around Christian people in our church, and we certainly had a lot to learn. And this was true in Bible college as well, as we got around folks that have been saved for many, many years, and they're rejoicing about something, and I'm weeping about it. They're praising the Lord, and I'm wondering what went wrong. They have complete peace, and I'm trembling. And it's like, I just need my eyes open. And I learned at a young age in Bible college to just come to the Lord and say, Lord, there's things you want me to see, and I want to see them. I don't want to be left in the dark. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want others to be in on it and me miss out on it. I want the Lord to open my eyes. And I hope that that'll be your prayer tonight. And I want to show you six things that we need to ask God to open our eyes to. The first thing is to see the Scriptures. To see the Scriptures. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I think that's amazing that he says out of thy law. I mean, really, the church today and churches today are doing everything they can to get away from the law. Psalmist said, I want it. Psalmist said, I want the thou shalts. I want the thou shalt nots. I want everything you said, God. I don't want just the things that feel good. I don't want just the warm and fuzzy stuff. The psalmist said, I want it all. I want to behold things out of your law. Now, here's the thing I know for a fact. David physically could see. I know that. I know that's not what he's talking about here. I know he physically could see because David was a shepherd. David could see because David took a sling and slung it at Goliath and killed him. I mean, I know David physically. He's not talking about opening his physical eyes. By the way, he also could read because he wrote the Psalms. I mean, he knew how to read. He understood that. He's not talking about physically reading or seeing. He's talking about he wanted spiritually to see what God was saying. He wanted to be able to read the Word of God. He wanted to be able to see the law of God. And he wanted to know what God wanted from him. He wanted to know what God meant. He wanted to see it spiritually. Again, he wasn't like the modern day Christian today who says, I want nothing to do with thou shalt and thou shalt not. I just want to do my own thing. He said, I want to do your thing, God. And the only way I'm going to do your thing is to know what it is. So open my eyes spiritually that I can understand, that I can comprehend the Word of God. Now, you know, I think about this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. I just want to show you the privilege that we have. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. I'm going to keep my place in Psalm 119. Certainly we will go back to it. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. The Bible says here, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God. The natural man, who's that? That's the unsaved man. The unsaved man, he doesn't get it. He doesn't receive the things of the spirit of God. In fact, notice what it says. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The lost man, the natural man, can't have his eyes open until he gets saved. Now he can get his eyes open enough to get saved, but he cannot discern the things of God. That's why if you have lost loved ones, they don't understand when you talk about spiritual things. They don't get it. Now, I'm not telling you not to talk about spiritual things because you want to get them hungry to know. But I'm just saying, they don't. They don't get it. And they look at you like you're crazy. You start talking about heaven. You start talking about hell. You start talking about God's love for you. And start talking about the things of God. And they cannot possibly see it. That's what God says. It's foolishness to them. Look at Ephesians 4, 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The unsaved, they cannot see. Now I say that to say we can. I say that to say it ought to be the prayer of every Christian. God, I want to see your word. I want to understand. I want to comprehend the word of God. Another lost thinking, Isaiah 8 and verse 20. A few pages over, Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And there are many that represent religion, God, and they don't speak according to the word. You know why? Because the Bible says there's no light in them. Your cults would fall into that category. They don't speak according to the word of God because they have no light. They don't have that understanding that comes when you trust Jesus as Savior and you say, God, I need my eyes open. And so instead of proclaiming the Scripture, they twist the Scripture to fit whatever they want it to fit. You see, with inspiration, God breathed His Word. With preservation, God made sure we would have it in our language. With revelation, He made it available to every one of us. But with illumination, He opens our eyes that we understand it. Again, it is every bit as supernatural as your salvation is supernatural. It is every bit a miracle of God when He illumines, when He opens our eyes, when He shows us the Scripture. That's why the Berean Christians were so smart. They searched the scriptures daily. Well, as they're searching the scriptures daily to see that it's so, the Lord Jesus is realizing here's some people that really want to know. Amen. And if they really want to know, good night. He wants them to know. And he's going to show them. Open my eyes. Remove the veil. Remove the blindfold. God certainly wants to do that for you and I. for the Christian. Matthew 16 and verse 17. Matthew 16, 17. And this is by far my longest point, so don't get nervous. Matthew 16 and verse 17. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Now there are things flesh and blood can reveal to us. There are things that a teacher can teach us. There are some things, certainly, that we can read in books, and we have books that will teach us some things. There are things that your parents can reveal to you and talk to you about and show you. A pastor can do the same thing. But here's the thing we need to understand. There are those other things that are not revealed by flesh and blood, but my Father, which is in heaven. Those are the things that are precious and unique to the Word of God. That as you read your Bible, as you listen to preaching from the Word of God, God Himself will reveal those things and will reveal them to you if you have your eyes open. And He'll show you if you want to know. And He'll show you if you remove the blinders. And He'll show you if you push aside the flesh and that which, oh, this thing irritates me. Because I'll be honest, the Word of God, it can have an irritating effect. But oh, He wants to show us, doesn't He? He really does. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." You shouldn't have anything blocking your sight of the Lord and what He wants to show you from the Word of God. You don't want the veil of religion to block what God says to you. There are many people in this room that had to rip away the veil of religion so they could see the precious truth of the Word of God. They had to rip away the veil of tradition so that they could see the wonderful truth of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, there is nothing like it when that veil is torn away and you see the truth of the Scripture as it really is. Maybe you struggle tonight with different things where the Word of God can help you. You need that veil torn away. How can I do it, preacher? Open thou mine eyes, Lord, that I can see your Scripture, that I can see it. A lot of Christians are like Ephraim in Hosea 8 and verse 12. Let's look at that real quick. Hosea 8. Excuse me, in verse 12. And Ephraim, of course, represents a backslider, a lukewarm type of a person. And I'm working on a message just different things about Ephraim. Hosea 8 and verse 12. "I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." See, David said, "Open my eyes that I might see it." And others are like Ephraim here in Hosea 8. These things are strange. Well, they're only strange because your eyes aren't open. It could be because you are a member of the Virgin a Year Club. Then the Word of God becomes strange when you're not really sure if you have the Word of God. The Bible says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Absolutely perfect. It is nobody's business to change the Word of God. It is our business, however, to see it. It is our business. You say, "But I don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Listen to me. All you need to do is say, God, open my eyes. I want to see it. I really want to see it. Understand, to the blind person, the sunset is nothing. To the blind person, the sunrise is nothing. To the blind person, beautiful mountains are nothing. To the blind person, the fall colors mean nothing. But it's not a problem with the object. It's a problem with the sight. We have the precious, perfect Word of God. And the only problem is we don't see it. We say today, I don't see it. I've got to change some things so I can see it. No. You need to see it the way He meant it. We all do. You see, it's not a new revelation that we need. It's we need to see the revelation. Yeah, we live in a day where it's like come on, everything's changing. But He said, I change not. And that means His Word changes not. And though everybody else may be, and honestly, you know, the groovy church is really the most popular thing nowadays, but that's not what God says in His Word. What God says is, He says, I want you to see it. It's so precious. It's so wonderful. David said, I want to see it. I want to see the law. You say, well, I don't like it. No, the truth is you don't know. There's folks harp all the time about standards and I don't think you ought to have to do. But look, if you just would see it. If you'd see, be ye holy as I am holy, you'd find out that I don't care what kind of rule we might come up with, it's nothing compared to His holiness. It's just a matter of seeing. It's a matter of, God, I want to be what you want me to be, but I got to see it, God. And about the first time He tells you what you're doing wrong, it's like, I don't like that. Open thou mine eyes. You see, so many have a blindfold on their heart, and it's blindfolded to separation. That's strange. It's blindfolded to standards. Oh, that seems strange. That you would put yourself in check? Doesn't seem strange to me. Blindfold to soul winning, that seems strange. You know what we need to do every day, open thou mine eyes to see the Scripture. Number two, open thou mine eyes to see the Savior. John 20, verse 14. John chapter 20 and verse 14. I always get a kick out of the stories in the Bible, and these are very precious stories to me. John 20 and verse 14. Jesus has risen from the dead, and the Bible says that He comes to Mary, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. There He was, right there. And she knew not that it was Him. She didn't see Him with the kind of eyes she needed to see Him. In John 21, verse 4, just a page over, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I can just imagine, boy, I miss Jesus. Don't you miss Jesus? Yeah, I miss Jesus. You know, I'm sure excited about Jesus, and I wish it, and there He stands, like, well, who's that? I don't know. I can't imagine who, and there He is right there. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, probably one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. They're walking along and Jesus joins them and they start talking about Jesus. And they're discouraged. They're so sad. They're talking about His death. Oh, you're not going to believe this. Our best friend died. You're not going to believe this. I mean, we thought He was the Messiah. He died and He's gone. And Jesus is walking right there with them. They say He was buried. They say He rose again. There's Jesus standing right there with them, walking along. They're having a good time. They said their hearts burned while they talked with Him. And there He was. Open thou mine eyes to see the Savior. They were discouraged. They were having a hard time. You see, if you would say, Lord, open my eyes when I'm having trouble, when I'm hurting, when I'm discouraged. You ever read that passage and say, how in the world could they talk like that in his presence? Well, their eyes weren't open, that's how. Let me ask you a question. How can we? How can we? Do we complain while he's right there? Do we gripe about some trouble? Do we get upset about a disappointment? Isn't he there? But see, we don't see it. Hey, you know what? In every one of these cases, every situation right here, Mary, the disciples, these disciples, do you know what? Their whole attitudes would change when they know it's him. How would they know it's him? By faith. Well, how do you know that he's there? I only know by faith. I've never seen him. I'm not like Oral Roberts who saw a 900-foot Jesus. But I know he's there. Why? Because he said he would be. It's like our group was praying tonight, our men's group praying, and talking about he's in the midst. He said he would be in the midst. So he is. Amen. Well, how could they talk like that? He's right there. But he's right there with us too. But we don't have faith to see him. We have a blinder on our heart and we don't see him. You know, I often think about the things we say while he's right there. And if we just would recognize his presence, it would change the whole conversation that we have. You know what? It'd change conversations among one another too. Some of those little private little meetings out in the hallway there, you know, if you just would realize Jesus is right there. You know, some of the phone conversations and texting and stuff like that. Open thou mine eyes. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see and know by faith your presence. So sad, many Christians, day in, day out, there's no recognition that he's right there with you. No recognition. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's there. He's there. What am I going to do? He's there. You don't even need to throw up your hands and just shout it. Just ask him. He's right there. What are we going to do, Lord? How many times a day do I say, Lord, what are we going to do about this? He's there. Open thou mine eyes that I might see thy scripture. Open thou mine eyes that I might see the Savior. Number three, open thou mine eyes to see my sin. By the way, you see your Savior and you see the scripture, you're well on your way to seeing your sin. Numbers 22, verse 22. Love the story. Numbers 22, 22. To see my sin. You know the story of Balaam. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. I love it. Can you see it? And the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn, going to chop off Balaam's head. And the donkey looks up and sees the angel of the Lord. Balaam's going on his way. Boy, that reminds me of so many Christians. God has warned them already and told them, and it's so clear, and it's like, I know the angel must be there. I wonder if your car will stop running like the donkey stopped going. You know, I wonder what it may take to get you to stop and see your sin. The Bible says, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards. Balaam thought he'd go another way. A wall being on this side, a wall on that side. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Poor Balaam's foot. But he still had his head attached. By the way, he would have had his head. It just wouldn't have been attached, and that's inconvenient. It doesn't work. And he smote her again. Now the donkey is saving his life, but he doesn't have a clue because he can't see it. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or the left. And by the way, everybody, the angel, the donkey, they're all trying to get Balaam to see his sin. Amen? I mean, it's like, come on, don't you get it? You're about to lose your head over this. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And I love verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Now see, Balaam couldn't see, but he still could hear. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? Can you imagine how he must have felt? And pretty soon he's talking back. What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And of course the angel's still there, still standing there with his sword. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. And they're talking back and forth now. Now wait a minute, he can't see, but he can hear. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. Now see, that's what the altar call is all about. Something's not right. Something's going wrong. I know there's stuff. God, help me see my sin. Help me see what my sin is doing to those around me. Help me see what my sin is doing in my own life. Help me see that God is going to get tired of this thing. God is going to deal with me, and the sword may be about to fall, and it may fall on someone I love because my eyes are closed, God. I want to see it. Open thou mine eyes to see my sin. And here the donkey was more spiritual than the man. The question is, what will it take for us to see? It's amazing how we see everybody else's and post it just as quick as we can. But we can't see our own. I find that the more people post about other people's sins, they don't have a clue about their own. Not a clue. Open thou mine eyes before the angel uses his sword in my life. Be sure your sin will find you out. Let me see, Lord, my sin. That'd be a good prayer at the altar. I want to see my sin. I want to see it. I want to see what it's doing. Because there are folks all over this room blind to their own sin and what it's doing in your life, in the life of your family. What price will it take for your eyes to be opened? Balaam, he had a crushed foot. Not bad. And then he saw. Open thou mine eyes to see the Scripture, the Savior, to see my sin. Number four, open thou mine eyes to see salvation. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. This is a familiar passage. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Open thou mine eyes to see my salvation. Now this passage is talking about the unsaved, I understand. Talked about it earlier, that they are blind to the Scriptures. But I want you to understand something. Satan does do all he can to blind the eyes of the lost so they don't get saved. And you can get frustrated, and we do get frustrated with unsaved people. We get frustrated. I watched at the fair, and there were actually people that turned Kathy down. And I know it's hard to believe. Even with the headlock, it just didn't work. And I mean, you it is a frustrating thing, but we do understand the devil is doing all he can to blind their eyes. He had me blind for a long time. But understand, he doesn't quit when you get saved. He continues to want to blind you about your salvation. He doesn't want you to see it. All right, you prayed. By the way, there's not a thing he can do. Not a thing he can do about your salvation. Do you realize that? Nothing. He can't have you. Your soul is saved. You're safe. Can't have you. But I'll tell you what he does. He keeps trying to blind people so they don't see it. Salvation. The very word. Salvation. It says you're saved. The very word says I'm saved. Saved from. Saved from what? Saved from punishment. Saved from judgment. Saved from hell. I'm saved. The very word. Salvation. And Satan does all he can to get us to not see it. There are folks here that struggle. I'm not getting on you. I understand. I've been a pastor a long time. And it's like, well, yeah, but I got saved, but yesterday I sinned. Or I went through a period of sin in my life. And the devil's trying to blind you so you don't see it. And he's trying, he uses doubt as the blindfold of our hearts and why so many struggle. But God made it so clear in his word, ye may know that ye have eternal life. You never have to doubt it. You never have to wonder about it. So it has nothing to do with day in and day out living. Nothing. It has everything to do with him hanging on a cross. And he died and he was buried and he rose again. And we're saved. And we're saved. And we're saved. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. That's how you're saved. Saved. And we sing it. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved, saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. And the devil whispers to you, yeah, but what about your sin last week? What about that sin that you opened your eyes and you see it now? What about that? I'm saved. He cannot take that away from me. He cannot take my salvation away from me. I am saved. My Bible says everlasting life. My Bible says eternal life. My Bible says that I will not come into condemnation. It is impossible for that to take place. My Bible says the Holy Spirit tells me and guarantees me, because he is my guarantee. He is the earnest. He is the down payment. Guarantees. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so if I go to hell, he goes with me and it's no longer hell. Amen. Lo, I am with you always. Yeah, but you see, Satan is constantly trying to blind us from seeing it. Look at Acts 26, verse 17. I'm just about done. I'm very disappointed. I should have about five more points. Acts 26 and verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. Inheritance. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. It's just a matter of saying, God, open thou mine eyes that I can see it. I want to see it. I want to see what it is to be a son of God. I want to know what it is to be a child of the King. I want to see it, God. I want to have the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I want that in my life. Open thou mine eyes to see the salvation that you provided for me. Number five, open thou mine eyes to see his supply. Genesis 21, verse 14. Genesis 21, verse 14. Genesis 21 and 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of the heavens and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. I think the well of water was there. She just didn't see it. But God opened her eyes, and she saw it. She went, filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, to see your supply. The water was there. She didn't see it. You know why she didn't see it? Because there was one thing she did see, and that's what the Bible says in verse 15. The water was spent in the bottle. She saw an empty bottle. She focused on the empty bottle. And then that was the end. By the way, the empty bottle, it would be the end. Except, my God shall supply all your needs. All you see is the empty checkbook. Huh? I mean, what'd she do? She cast the child under one of the shrubs, went away so she wouldn't have to watch him die. And there's a well of water right there. We get so busy focusing on the empty cupboard that we miss the sack of groceries out on the doorstep. We get so busy focusing on the disappointment that we don't understand what God actually just did. We get angry, we get bitter, we get worried, but the supply is already there. And oh, how many did just exactly what she did in verse 16, literally gave up. Open thou mine eyes to see the supply. By the way, if she gives up and walks away, lets the child die, guess what? She never does see the well of water. God says to her, hey, pick up the child, stand up, you'll see. She says, no, I refuse. Boy, we do that so often. Phooey with this stuff. I'm out of here. And you're going to miss the supply that is going to be the greatest blessing in all the world to you. Open thou mine eyes to see the Scripture, to see the Savior, to see my sin, to see thy salvation, to see your supply. And then the last thing, number six, open thou mine eyes to see his strength. His strength. Sometimes we just need to see how strong God really is. 2 Kings 6, you know the story. In fact, some of you probably were already realizing I was going to go there. 2 Kings 6, I love the story. The pastor with his assistant, Elisha with his assistant, are surrounded by the enemy. Verse 13, 2 Kings 6 and verse 13. He said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, we're dead meat. We are surrounded. They are coming to get you. King Assyria is not real happy with the man of God because the man of God has revealed something that the king said, and how in the world he found out, he doesn't know, because they didn't have the room bugged, but God told him. And the king of Syria is not happy with Elisha, and he's then therefore he would not be happy with this Elisha's servant. He surrounded the city. They're going to get him. And Elisha with his servant, they are there, and Elisha's not troubled, but the servant is terrified. Verse 16, he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, this servant doesn't understand. I don't know how many times as a pastor I've had to say, "Listen to me, we're going to win this thing." And people look at me like, "You are totally out of your mind. You've done it as a parent with your children before. Hey, God's going to do this. God's big." And it's like, yeah, well, we're in trouble. And this servant, he looks out and he says, "Well, you know, I can't really count all of them because there's too many. And the bad guys have us surrounded, Elisha, and there are a whole bunch of them, and they're coming to get you. And I guess they're going to come and get me too." Elisha said, "No, you don't understand. We're winning this thing. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." Amen. Verse 17, Elisha prays a prayer that I've prayed many times as a pastor. You've prayed as a parent. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And by the way, they all became prisoners of Elisha and his servant, the two. And the blind, they led him into Samaria. Anyway, I love it. How strong is God? I don't know how I'm going to... Okay, how strong is he? Open my eyes to see your strength, God. I got to talk to Zach Christman before he went off to college, and certainly there's a young man going against the grain. Went off to Bible college, so proud of him. And he was absolutely, positively as terrified as you need to be. Praise the Lord. But he also knows that his God's big. And his God is big. Looks big. Obstacles look big, look difficult. But praise God. Our God is strong. He can do anything. Gabby will be going soon. As a freshman. Freshmen, it's a whole different world for them. It's like, "Where's my mommy?" And Zach's already saying that. And his mom's right there with him. But anyway. But our God is bigger. Always is. I don't know what your obstacle might be today. I don't know. You may feel like you look out the window and all the bad guys are out there surrounding you. I don't know. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan have you surrounded? This is what I like. Then God has him surrounded. And by faith, God, open my eyes. I want to see what I need to see so I can move on, do what I'm supposed to do. And God will show you that it's okay. It's all right. Eyes of faith. God has so many great, 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 great victories for us. It's just, God, I want to see it. I want to see your scripture, God. I want to know and understand and comprehend this book. God, I want to see the Savior. I want to know he's with me. I want to see him with spiritual eyes, eyes of faith, to know that he's with me all the time. God, I want to see my sin. And again, if we see the scripture and we see the Savior and recognize him with, oh, our sin will be so obvious. I want to see my salvation, the salvation that you provided for me when I called upon you. I want to see it. I want to see that it is eternal. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to see your supply, that my needs are going to be met. That it may look barren and it may look like a desert, but I know, God, you can get water from a rock. You can send manna from heaven. I know you'll provide. I know you'll provide, but I want to see it with eyes of faith, God. Remove the doubt blinders from my eyes. And I want to see your strength, God. Things look impossible, but I want to see how big you are. And I want to know you've got it under control. Let's bow our heads, please. How many tonight would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something. Please pray for me." Raise your hand all over. God's speaking to me about something. Open thou mine eyes. Father, I pray you will open our eyes. These things and many more are things you want us to see and things you want to show us. So many things. And yet, often we have blinders of doubt. We have blinders of our flesh. And it keeps us from seeing the precious things that you want to show us. So I ask you tonight to open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen.